The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Also, check me out on the ESPN app and SiriusXM Channel 80. That was weird because my clock said 1:59 and we were already coming in. I thought maybe we were rehearsing. Since when do we rehearse the open? Also, check me out on the ESPN app, as I mentioned, SiriusXM Channel 80. Week 1 of the NFL football schedule is out. That's always exciting. Lots of storylines in the NFL. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. We're going to get to the NFL schedule in a second. And when I say we, I mean me. There's no one else here. I'm looking around. Raj, my producer, is in L.A. Brendan is in Connecticut. Apparently, his name is not Brandon. It's Brendan.
It is.
No one ever told me.
And you know, it's just you because you're the best, Max. You're the best.
That's right. Correct. Wait, what's going on? I'm suspicious.
What's that song?
Oh, yeah. Yes. I don't understand. Why are we playing that?
I love the song. I can't believe it came out and it was a real song.
That was a Karate Kid montage song. And by the way, every movie in the 80s had to have a montage where they were training to get, you know, Rocky or Karate Kid or even Scarface had one. Remember when they're making all the money in Scarface? Even Scarface had to have that terrible montage with the bad 80s music. Now, listen,
don't
that's neither here nor
you.
There. Wait a minute. There's big things going on, Raj. We're going to get to the NFL schedule in a second. A lot of storylines. But, yo, Anthony Davis, how are you feeling after last night's win against the New York Knicks?
Well, I'm hurt. not more so my body, just, you know, my groin got tight. You know, that was really it. Not sure where it came from. But the groin got a little tight. And there's no way I was coming out the game. I mean, big game for us. You know, a team was playing real high. You know, the situation that we're in, trying to battle for six.
By the way, I'm hurting? Hey, AD, how you feeling? I'm hurting? And it looked like he was hurting on the floor. Like, this news keeps getting worse and worse for the Lakers. No point guard. No LeBron, no Dennis Schroeder, no Caruso. You got THT running your offense. He's going to be a good player one day. He's not bad now, but come on. And you beat the Knicks. Who, by the way, Tom Thibodeau. You know what's the knock against Tom Thibodeau? He grinds that team down, and they're so tough, but by the time the playoffs come, they're out of gas. Look at the Knicks in the fourth quarter. 10-point lead. The Lakers don't have a point guard, and they still win because the Knicks just look gassed. But AD was not moving well. And now, here comes LeBron back to play. You know, he's not going to play back-to-backs, so why play him in the first game? Give him a little extra rest. Let him play in the second game. But now, no AD. But let me tell you something. What is much more important for the Lakers than whether or not they play a play-in game, like if I'm running the Lakers, the play-in game's not even a consideration for me. The only consideration is the health of the team. Now, if you believe the play-in game is bad for the health of the team going into the playoffs because you have to play highly kind of strenuous, stressful games right before you play in the first round, then okay, I get it. But to my mind, if you're trying to win out now, and even if you do, you may wind up in the seventh seed. You're trying to win out, and so you're playing AD and LeBron maybe when you shouldn't? That is not a good idea. You imagine a compromised AD heading into a first-round matchup with the Clippers when LeBron, Schroeder, and AD have barely played together this year, let alone recently, and they're all coming back basically at the same time? No, I would much rather play in the playing game, win or lose to Portland or the Warriors, and they may win, and then it's done. You're heading into a first round matchup against probably the Suns, who you match up well with. You beat the Suns recently, no LeBron. What can they do with AD, right? Whether that's the case, or you have to play two, you because it's not a single elimination if you're a 7-8. You lose to the Warriors or Blazers, then you play the Spurs or the Grizzlies. You ain't gonna lose that game. And then you get a little momentum going into the playoffs and then play the Suns, let's say. Much rather that be the case than play the Clippers cold in the first round. The Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. I want to get to this NFL schedule without further ado because there's some interesting matchups here. First of all, Dolphins, Pats. That was the first one that caught my eye, actually. Like, and Molly on First Take was telling me I'm crazy. Oh, that's not such an interesting. I don't know. Tua Tagovailoa in year two. This is the development year for a quarterback. Oh, he wasn't getting big chunk plays. Well, you know, if that's the case, then maybe you get a receiver who can turn a short pass into a big chunk play. Like, I don't know, Waddle maybe, who they have. That's a 10-win team. That's a no-name defense, 10-win team, Dolphins team that picked up Waddle and has a quarterback maybe ascending in their second year against the Patriots. Everyone's giving that division to the Bills. Not so fast. Against Cam in his second season with Belichick. Not to mention Mac Jones. I think that matchup's interesting. I think the Browns and the Chiefs are interesting. The Browns are loaded, but the Chiefs revamped the O-line. I mean, even just look at the quarterback matchups. You know, the Jets, Zach Wilson, and he's playing Sam Darnold. First game of the season, the guy he replaced. Roger, it'd be helpful if we had all the matchups right up there in front of me. There we go. There we go. Excellent, excellent. By the way, Carson Wentz with that Colts team loaded against Russell Wilson, who threw his whole offensive line under the bus. Wentz at home. No, as Stephen A. would say, no excuses for Carson Wentz. You got an offensive line. You got a defense. You have weapons on offense. You have your old coach. Gotta ball out now. But, like, you ever notice how Seattle always wins double digits? Interesting matchup. Interesting matchups everywhere you look. Good storylines everywhere you look. The Chargers at Washington, of all the young quarterbacks, my eyes are on Justin Herbert. You think about how hyped up Trevor Lawrence has been, right? He's so hyped. The most since at least Andrew Luck, if not John Elway, as many have said, like he checks all the boxes. If Trevor Lawrence has a rookie year, the likes of which Justin Herbert just had, everyone's going to be like, oh my God, he not only matched expectations, he exceeded them. Justin Herbert has a chance right now to go into a group with Rodgers and Mahomes as just a different kind of talent. Because after Rodgers and Mahomes, by the way, when you start thinking of what quarterback you'd want on your team, given age and contract and everything, go beat Justin Herbert. That's not easy. Everywhere you look, you got an interesting game. Green Bay at New Orleans. Okay, who's going to be the quarterback in New Orleans compared to Aaron Rodgers? But is Aaron Rodgers still going to be the quarterback there? 888-SAY-ESPN. By the way, which was Straight Talk, Raj? Was Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless? Was that me talking about AD and LeBron? Or was that me talking about all these matchups?
Yeah, I think you laid that down, but I think that was the matchup. So I think the NFL Week 1 matchups was brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. So then I would just ask, what was that, Max?
That was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
A hot dog.
There you go. Raiders, Ravens, Monday Night Football, part of the Week 1 slate, right? By the way, Las Vegas, the Raiders are going to host. You know, unveil the whole thing. But Baltimore is 6.5-point favorites. Look, this is, what, year 4 with Gruden? How many years does he get before people are like, you know, that 10-year deal, I don't know. You can't be running in place or regressing. You know, at a certain point, and like if you get enough bites at the apple, someone like Gettleman with the Giants or Gruden with the Raiders, the only excuse you have for taking this long to get to even 500 is if you've built something that can sustain a year in and year out plus 500 type team. A year in, if you're going to tell me we're going to build a team that can make the playoffs for 5 or 10 straight years, okay, you can take 3 or 4 years to get there. But don't take 3 or 4 years and then maybe win like more than you lose 1 year, maybe make the playoffs and act like that's a success. Meantime, the Ravens, did they do enough for Lamar Jackson? And can he continue to develop to really join the league? Like, what quarterback would you like to have in all of football? Pretty easy, Patrick Mahomes, right? Given age, success, talent, the whole thing. But now he's the highest paid player in the game. And that factors into how you think of a guy. Like, as I mentioned, Justin Herbert's on his rookie deal, second year of his rookie deal, and he's already got elite talent, if not production. And for Anthony Lynn, a guy who had the handcuffs on him all year and doesn't have his job anymore. Right? Lamar Jackson's won an MVP, but I'll bet there are, like, how many people have him in the top five? A lot to get into today. I got CP the franchise, NBA analyst, Knicks fan TV on the line. CP, good to have you on the show. I see you've dressed like an adult today. I can see that. Very good. How late did you stay up in your mom's basement watching those gutty little Knicks lose to the Lakers? That's what I want to know.
First and foremost, Max, that the business attire is all about business, because not only is CP the franchise, the content powerhouse,
yes,
I'm also a businessman, and the wrappings are coming off the Knicks Fan TV documentary, which is set to debut next week.
Get out of here.
So make sure
really?
You guys look out for that on Knicks Fan TV. Yeah.
Nice, you made a documentary.
The Knicks Fan TV documentary is on the way. Look out for it next week.
Very good. Very
good. But nevertheless, Max, 101-99 in overtime. It was a tough night last night. I called the game last night. I was in my Marv Albert bag on Knicks Fan TV YouTube. Mm-hmm. Just a tough game. The Knicks just could not close in crunch time in overtime. Derrick Rose and Julius Randle gave it their all to put the team on their backs. Didn't have a performance by the supporting cast of R.J. Barrett and Reggie Bullock. Knicks shorthanded. Just couldn't get the stops,
wait,
man. They made more plays than we did.
The Lakers didn't have LeBron James or Dennis Schroeder. Calm down with the short. Or Caruso. Calm down with the shorthanded for a second. Hold on a second. I want to get to something with you.
Yeah.
And then we have to move on to real basketball. We have to move off the Knicks, okay? Now, this is what I want to know, CP. Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah.
There's some guys, maybe Mark Jackson falls into this category, maybe Buck Showalter in baseball, who can change the culture of your team and get you to a certain place. But then the belief, at least, among ownership and high levels of executives is, now we need someone to get us to the next place. Now, Tom Thibodeau, is the coach of the year. But what's the criticism been of Tom Thibodeau throughout his career? He works them so hard and intensely in the regular season, they're gassed by the playoffs, right? What I saw last night was a gassed Knicks team. They had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. You had Talen Horton Tucker running point for the Lakers, and they still couldn't get it done because when they hit put the pedal to the metal, there was no gas left. Julius Randle, Derrick Rose, nobody. They were out of gas. Is that Thibodeau's fault?
No, because as I said, we were shorthanded. We're missing Alec Burks and Emmanuel Quickley, two major pieces to this Knicks offense. And when you talk about the way that Elfrid Payton has struggled, especially in the second half of games, there's only so much minutes that Derrick Rose can go where he's truly effective. Those spot minutes in between the third and the fourth quarter would ideally go to a guy like Alex Burks that can still make plays for you on the perimeter and get you a bucket, get you to the free throw line. Emmanuel Quickley, he's a flamethrower from the three-point line. So the absence of those two guys loom large. But that's not on Tibbs. Tibbs could truly be the table setter for this team, but we won't know that until this team truly gets some more talent in here, and we'll see how far they can go.
Yawn. No one cares about the Knicks. Listen, are we going to I like them. Quickley's good. He's a six-man type. Rose is a six-man type. Barrett's been shooting the ball well. He maybe is an all-star type, and Julius Randle is the kind of lower-level MVP candidate type. They don't quite have enough firepower, but maybe if they show a healthy enough culture and a good enough work ethic, some real superstars are going to want to join the team. Yeah. Maybe. That's in the future. Right now, you have teams who already did that and paved the way for the superstars to join. The Lakers and the Nets. Let's start with the Lakers. Battle of L.A., round one. I'm a Lakers fan, as you know, CP. I'm a reformed Knicks fan. I'm a Lakers fan. I'm scared about that first-round matchup with the Clippers. I would rather see them play the play-in game. Even if they lose to Golden State or Trailblazers, you know, like Dame or Steph get hot, what can you do? They ain't losing to the Grizz or the Spurs again. Like after, and then they get a first-round matchup with Phoenix? Oh, I like that. I like that as a Lakers fan. If I can say LeBron and AD are going to be healthy, better than walking into a first-round buzzsaw with the Clippers and having to play my guys when they have like AD, who has a groin issue right now, in order to get there. What about the Battle of L.A.? What's that mean for the Lakers?
Battle of L.A. is going to put a lot of pressure on the Lakers, man. This Clippers team is deep. I love their roster. I like their depth. I don't like their lack of killer instinct. And that's why I'm not so sure it'd be a bad move for the Lakers to just go ahead, win out, and try to meet the Clippers in the first round. Why? Number one, the Lakers' defense is still tops in the league. I think their defense is going to carry them. Give me LeBron and AD over Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Give me their top two superstars over the Clippers. Mm-hmm. And how about this? They go on the road against the Clippers in the playoffs. They're not traveling anywhere.
That's
they're
right.
home every single game. They get to sleep in their bed. They go on the road against the Clippers. Clippers fans don't exist. They're like Nets fans. They're not putting fear in anybody. So I like the Lakers here. Number one priority, Max, they got to get healthy.
Yep.
They need Schroeder. Who knows what his conditioning is going to be post-COVID. Mm-hmm. Alex Caruso left the Knicks game early last night. He only played 7 minutes. He's their most important perimeter defender. And AD was very banged up yesterday. A groin injury for him. So the Lakers need to just get healthy as quickly as they can and then worry, let the chips fall where they may.
You know what's the saving grace for them? Is that all of a sudden the West doesn't look good. Suns haven't played well. Yeah. Clippers haven't played well. Maybe the Lakers' bacon is saved by that. Meantime... Yeah. The most important player in the NBA right now is coming back tonight as well. And the reason I say James Harden's the most important player is because if he's healthy, if the big three is healthy and they have Harden, kiss this season goodbye every other team in the league. But if he's not, I don't think they get to the conference finals. I don't think KD and Kyrie, I think if James Harden doesn't play, the Bucks and the Sixers play for the Eastern Conference championship. If James Harden is healthy, why even bother playing this postseason other than to watch the Nets put on a show? What do you think about Harden's? It's going to be a game time decision. What do you think about Harden's return?
Oh, when Harden gets back, that offense is going to explode. I mean, you think about the fact that Kyrie Irving gave James Harden the keys to the castle, and for good reason. He's probably the best pick-and-roll ball handler in the league, whether it's a threat to score or a threat to pass. He's in the 71st percentile in points per possession as a pick-and-roll ball handler. Conversely, Kyrie Irving is in the 40th percentile. So James Harden's going to come in. He's going to be a way better decision-maker. He's going to help them defensive rebounding, and that's where the Nets have to come in and rebound as a group. So I think he's going to help them there, but offensively, being a threat off the pick and roll, it's going to open everything up for everybody, including Kyrie, KD, Joe Harris, you name it. When Harden gets back, that pick and roll is going to be unstoppable. Nets offense is going to be lethal.
Now, CP, I like what you're wearing. You got this stupid Knicks hat
on. A little orange and blue. I don't stray too far from home. You know what I mean?
Now you got to do something about the beard. You're not a player. What do you got a beard to hide some PEDs? What are you doing? Just take it down.
you got a beard yourself.
But see how it's low? Well, I'm on the radio right now. This is your big break. You're on ESPN Plus right now. You have national talent. Now we have to give you a national look. Listen to that analysis you just broke out. It was spot on. CP the franchise.
As is, Max. I would be the best dressed man in Bristol. By the current look.
That's absurd. Now, listen, CP, that's absurd. But I like CP showed, Ma, can you sew me something like this? And he showed her a picture of my work. I think it's Tom Ford. Could you make something like this? Hold on. Let me see what I got. All right, look, CP, let me ask you something about the Warriors. I was arguing with Kendrick Perkins about this on First Take today. It's a very big-time show. Very big show. Huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a big star, CP, on ESPN, and I was arguing with Kendrick Perkins, and now I'm bringing you right into that world. You're welcome. Now, listen. The Warriors, look, Wiggins shot it much better than I thought he would this year. And the Warriors are looking good at a time where the rest of the Western Conference, as I mentioned, is not looking good. But I still don't believe they have enough shooting. They're dangerous in a play-in, but I don't think that the Jazz or the Suns or a team like that needs to lose sleep about the Warriors. How do you see them in the postseason coming up?
Mm-hmm. Well, look, one thing I like about Kendrick Perkins, one thing we have in common is that we destroy you on your Knicks cold take. So I kind of live vicariously through
cold
KP when I watch him on cold take you out every day. So congratulations to him on his deal. With
delusional.
The Warriors, look. No, they're not fearing me in a series, in a 1 or 2 game playoff. Yeah, you never know. The chef could get hot. He's been cooking so far. They won 4 straight, 6-1 in May. As you said, Wiggins is starting to come around. But listen, you know, they miss Clay. Draymond's not putting fear in anybody. I don't think the Warriors are somebody that you need to worry about in the postseason. But in the play-in, I think it'll be good for the league. Obviously, they want the ratings, and they want to see Steph go in and get hot to a 40-point game. So that might be good for them. But long-term, they're going to be a quick out.
You know what's going to be crazy about the Warriors going forward, though? They're still a destination for free agents. Steph Curry's still going to be great. Clay is coming back. And now they have draft capital – and Wiseman, And Wiggins. Wiggins on that contract, suddenly it's like a best case scenario for them. If they keep him, they have a guy who can play as a fourth wheel. He'd be great. But you might be able to get something for him. He can defend, and he can score. He can shoot from the outside. Like, I'm with you.
Pick.
Warriors ain't nothing right now. But damn, going forward, they could put it back together.
Yeah, they could be built for the present and the future. They have to, they're going to have the Timberwolves pick. That's going to be a lottery pick.
Huge.
They'll have their own pick, which could be a lottery pick. You got Klay coming back, one of my favorite players in the league for sure. So, yeah, I think for the future, they're set up pretty nicely, just like the Knicks.
Now, listen. You just go put a tie on now. You shear down the beard a little bit. We'll see if we can't get you,
you know,
a real
what?
Job.
Yes. You could argue it's the tie that makes your Knicks take so terrible on TV. You're losing oxygen to your brain, Max. Every day you go on the show and you're moving the goalposts. If they don't win the first round, it's a failure. Mm-hmm. If they don't win the Laker game, it's not a championship for them. I get DMs all the time from Knicks fans. CP, Max is going off the rails
from
again.
Who?
He hasn't learned.
From who?
He has not learned.
From Knicks fans. What? Knicks fans have brain damage. Believe me, I was one of you once. I used to be. I look back, I go, why was my brain so damaged? What was the matter with me? All right, listen, CP, we'll talk again next week. I appreciate you coming on. CP, the franchise, Knicks Fan TV, on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Hear how Brett Favre says Aaron Rodgers should feel about the Packers? Did you see this? Hear my computer career ads and think, I don't know anything about computers. You don't have to. Before starting, many graduates could turn a computer on and off, and that's it. Now they're IT pros, and you could do it too. Going to send Raj there so he doesn't have any more problems with his internet connection. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation. You could start your new life in as little as 4 months. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career. Hear from Brett Favre. Next, Max Kellerman Show.
KJZ.
The Knicks are making the playoffs, and people in New York are going crazy. They're getting ready to lose their damn mind. Oh, my God, they're getting ready to win the championship.
That's
and they're going to get run out of the first round.
Want more from the NBA? Don't miss Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Tomorrow morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also, check me out on the ESPN app and SiriusXM channel 80, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance, coming to you very live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. CP the Franchise joined me on the Goodyear Hotline in the last segment. Meantime, you hear what Brett Favre said on the Great Dane Nation podcast? Listen up. Brett Favre on Aaron Rodgers.
Knowing Aaron, he's a guy that will harbor a grudge for a long time. And, you know, I don't see him saying, okay, you were right. I'll come in and play. I see him sitting out before he agrees to come back and say he's wrong. I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm not saying he's right. I don't know. But I do think that they've sent the wrong message as far as winning now.
Well, I disagree with Brett Favre in that everyone's assuming Rodgers is going to have to sit out, retire, or accept the Packers' decision. That's not how I see it at all. The game has changed since you played gunslinger. No, Favre was not the boss, even though the media loved him. Favre was an all-time great, of course, but some in the media were saying he might be the greatest ever. He never was in that conversation. But he was an all-time great, top 10. And talent-wise, he, you know, was right there with just about anyone ever. But the game changed. They have made so many rules changes to the offense and to protect the quarterback that the importance of the quarterback has now been elevated to the point where if you are a great quarterback, you have power the way an NBA superstar has power. An NBA superstar like LeBron James or James Harden can tell the team, you will trade me to that team. And their team could say, we just signed you to a $10,000 billion trillion contract. You're under contract, blah, blah, blah. They talk till they're blue in the face. And James Harden is just going to sit there and go, yeah, the Nets. Wake me up when I'm traded to the Nets, right? And then eventually they trade him to the Nets. Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers now wield that kind of power in the NFL because that's how important they are. You know, remember when I was talking about Rodgers on the Browns? I think they'd be the Super Bowl favorites. And Baker Mayfield's a perfectly good quarterback. He's a good quarterback, not a bad one. But, you know, you're not taking the Browns to win the Super Bowl. You know why? They don't have one of those guys. Baker Mayfield is never going to be Aaron Rodgers. But if they had Aaron Rodgers, right? That's why every year the Chiefs are the favorites to win the Super Bowl. Mahomes started 3 years. They've been to three AFC championship games, two Super Bowls, and won a Super Bowl. Right? You have one of those guys. You have Aaron Rodgers. You get a decent coach. Consecutive years, NFC championship game. Tom Brady joins a loaded team, Super Bowl, first year. You have one of those guys or don't you? And if you do, keep that guy happy because you only think that you're the boss if you're in the front office. But they are your boss, in fact. You don't even have the option of resisting the what they tell you to do. Like, there's no option. It's not like the Packers have the option of refusing Aaron Rodgers. What are they going to do? Okay, we dare you to sit out, Aaron Rodgers. He don't have to sit out. He'd just be like, okay, fine, I'll play. And he'll play well, but you want him to lead the team and the teammates know he doesn't want to be there? It's never going to work. It's never going to work. And everyone knows it. So you're going to trade him and to the team he wants to be traded to, because if not, he'll just tell the team, you know, who he's being traded to. I'm not going to stay here. I'm not happy here. And they're not going to give up ahead of time. His agent will let him know. Nah, don't trade for him. He's not going to be happy. So why would they give up three, four first-round picks for a guy who's not going to be happy there, not going to want to stay there? They're not. Therefore, you will wind up trading him to the exact team he wants to be traded to. That's the fact of the matter. The question is, can the Packers keep him? Can they keep him? Because see how it ended with Brett Favre? He wasn't making decisions. The Packers were. And it was going to end that way for Rodgers, too. And Chris Canty said this on First Take that yesterday, that Aaron Rodgers is manipulating the situation the way he manipulates defenses with his eyes, right? He is. He's gained control of the situation with the Packers, where they will not determine his fate toward the end of his career. He will determine it. He will either accept their present offer to make him the highest paid guaranteed player in the history of football, which is exactly what I said they needed to do. He'll either accept that offer or he will be traded to the team of his choosing. Now, here's the thing. If he turns them down and is traded to the team of his choosing, he is under the most pressure of any player in the NFL. Because this ain't once upon a time where Joe Montana went to the AFC championship game with the Chiefs. Boy, he really was great. He didn't need Bill Walsh to be really good. This ain't that. Brett Favre's still a playoff caliber quarterback when they got rid of him. He still was good. It ain't that. Peyton Manning goes to the Broncos, and that was off an injury. And by the way, Montana, because they had Steve Young, and Favre, because they had Aaron Rodgers, right? They had real good succession plans. And in the case of, and by the way, Andrew Luck in Indianapolis, so they had new guys to move on. Right? And Peyton Manning went to two Super Bowls in 4 years and won one. Right? There's no succession plan in Green Bay. You think they're thinking Jordan Love is going to be the guy? Then why would they offer to make Rodgers the highest paid guy ever? Because they know Jordan Love ain't ready, if he'll ever be. Right? So if Rodgers chooses the team he goes to, after Tom Brady chose his team and won the Super Bowl by getting past Aaron Rodgers in his first year, won the Super Bowl, people are going to look at Rodgers and say, yo, you were in the NFC Championship game 2 years in a row with LaFleur and that team. That team's really good. You demanded a trade. When Brady got to a new place, he beat you, won the Super Bowl year one. What'd you do year one? There will be no one under more pressure than Aaron Rodgers to win the Super Bowl this year if he forces a trade. Going to get to some calls coming up. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. I don't know what you're doing, Roger. The NBA is on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight as the Hawks host the Wizards, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 6:30 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. Now, if LeBron can't make a deep playoff run, right, if he can't, is there anyone who can claim the crown? And who? Who could claim the crown if the Lakers get bumped early? Who? Steph, Kawhi, the Freak, KD, Harden, who? The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also check me out on the ESPN app, Sirius XM channel 80, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I said it when KD in the middle of LeBron's prime won MVP in the regular season and deserved it. Because that never happened to like MJ, right? No one ever deserved the MVP over him when he was in his prime. But it happened to LeBron. Hey, is KD better than LeBron? Then the playoffs happened. And by the end, it's like, oh, sorry. Sorry, LeBron, you got this. High leverage games, you showed what's what. Then it happened with Steph. You know what? In this NBA, the way the game is played now, Steph's actually the best player. And then LeBron, you know, playoffs came in. Sorry, LeBron, you got this. Sorry, you've always been the best. Sorry. And it happened again to me with Kawhi. I'm like, you know what? LeBron doesn't have the playoffs this year to prove it. And he's 34 years old. And Kawhi coming off a finals MVP. And here we go. And then the end of the playoffs came. Sorry, LeBron, you were the guy. You were the guy all along. But I have to admit, I haven't learned my lesson. It's happening again to me. LeBron's not going to have these playoffs to prove anything, most likely. You think he's getting out of the first round? If he does, great. If he doesn't, is the crown up for grabs? Can we at least say a piece of it is so he's not the undisputed champ? If the Brooklyn Nets do, you know, go the whole way and James Harden is finals MVP somehow, even though he hasn't showed up big in the playoffs so far, is he the best player in the game? The way Harden's played for the Nets this year, game for game, it made me think maybe he is. Giannis working on a season that's just like the previous two where he won MVP. What if the Bucks go all the way? Has Giannis laid a claim? What about Kawhi? What if he gets his revenge this year? How about Steph? What if the Warriors do knock off the Suns or the Jazz and make a run behind Steph Curry? Because James Harden's coming back probably tonight, right? It'll be a game time decision. Harden, Steph, Giannis, KD. A lot of playoffs to be played right now, and some guys who can make a move on the king. 888-SAY-ESPN, Nick in Kansas, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
What's up, Max?
Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, man, I've been listening to you for a while now. I love you and Stephen A. on First Take in the morning. Gets me through my mornings at work. Appreciate it. Big shout out from Kansas. But, man, I'm not going to lie, I got a little bit of a bone to pick with you, and yeah, nothing personal, but LeBron's not a point guard. And hear me out. Hear me out.
Go ahead.
He's not a point guard, because if he was, then why did they bring in Rondo last year?
To play off the bench? You know, because you want more than one playmaker on your team, one guy who can run your offense. You know, like Magic, when he came into the league, wasn't even technically the point guard, but Magic was the point guard. But you had other guys who could also run the point. You know, Michael Jordan, who'd he play next to? Michael Jordan's a two guard, right? He's an off guard. He played next to Steve Kerr and John Paxton and B.J. Armstrong. Those were, you know, technically the point guards. Not that LeBron was exactly a point guard either. But they had other guys who handled the ball. Despite, you know, whoever was the primary ball handler. No, Scottie Pippen wasn't a point guard. Scottie Pippen was a point forward. He's not going to take point guard duties over the course of his season. LeBron James does. He does. There have been many seasons in his career where he is the primary ball handler, averaging a lot of assists, orchestrating the offense as a brilliant passer. No, I mean, and he's guarding the other team's backcourt a lot of the time. The one or the two. And by the way, he has been listed at point guard before, you know. Rondo was not the starter last year. And by the way, the reason I said it, this is what people are reacting to. I said, actually, the real answer to who the greatest point guard of all time is, because there was a lot of talk, where does Westbrook rank, triple-doubles, and, well, Magic, it's really Magic. The reason I started thinking LeBron, I was like, if I constructed my all-time team, right? A lot of the trouble you run into is like, okay, Magic is the point, Mike's the two, so LeBron is the three. We don't have enough shooting all of a sudden. your center better be able to shoot the lights out, right? And I kept running into that, like, yeah, but Jordan and LeBron have to be on the team, and Magic didn't shoot it real well. And then I realized, actually, when you think about the way that team would operate, you want the ball in LeBron's hands making decisions. LeBron would really is the guy you want running the offense, who shot it from distance better than Magic, just because shooting percentages went up from long range in LeBron's era. And then if you play LeBron at the one and Jordan at the two, then I'm thinking now you get plenty of shooting from your forwards, KD and Larry Bird, let's say, right? That's what started. I was messing around, just like chopping it up with some friends about that. And I started realizing, yeah, I would actually, on my all-time team, if I'm actually trying to win, I take LeBron at the point. Now, you call him a point guard if you want. It's positionless basketball. You can call him a one, a two. You can call LeBron legitimately a one, a three, or a four. You could put him at the point, at the small forward, or at the power forward, technically. You could call him any one of those three things. Just like you could call Duncan a four or a five. Cameron in Louisiana, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
What's going on, Max? So I wanted to talk a little NBA with you. So I'm talking if everybody is not injured, of course, because how injured are these guys? AD's injury, come back, drops 40, drops 20. I still think if they're injured, first run out, Clippers. However, a more strategic route would be the play-in, and I like Lakers, Nets. Lakers in seven is going to go right down in Barclays. When you look at the Nets, I just don't think they're built like the Warriors, a team LeBron took 6-7 games deep offensively or defensively. KD hits a deep three. Clay in the corner. I just think it's not going to be a real easy out to get LeBron out.
It's not the Warriors, dude. What's quiet is kept about the Nets, okay? Listen, what they did that was so smart, it's not Steve Nash. The most unheralded coach of the year, because his guys have been hurt so much, is actually Mike D'Antoni, who's sitting on the bench for Steve Nash. Because what's happened is, when Harden showed up, D'Antoni started running his system with Harden as a real point guard. Not as a point guard where he's like, okay, James, we're running this pick-and-roll offense, and you're going to have to score 35 points a night for us to win. But here, James, now you can really play like a point guard in my system. And they're running it with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant for James Harden as weapons. Never mind Joe Harris, right? That is on the low what it is. It's not the Warriors. This is the Rockets. This is the D'Antoni Rockets, but Harden has KD and Kyrie with him. It's a wrap. It's a wrap. That Rockets team was so dangerous running D'Antoni's system that without even Chris Paul, who wasn't available game seven, they had a game seven at home against the KD Warriors. Missed every shot and still could have won that game. AD banged up again. NFL schedule coming up. Max Kellerman Show.
The Max Kellerman Show. The podcast.